This is Ozarks at Large for Wednesday, June 9th, 2021. Thanks for your continued support. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of our show. John McDonald's career in collegiate sports is unparalleled. During 36 years as the head men's track and field coach at the University of Arkansas, he collected 40 national championships, 19 for indoor track, 11 for cross country, 10 for the outdoor program. From 1984 to 2000, at least one of his teams collected a national championship. He was awarded a National Coach of the Year honor 30 times. He was a Conference Coach of the Year, either in the Old Southwest Conference or the SEC, 49 times. He was also a beloved teacher, family member, and community figure. He passed away Monday night at age 82. In March 2013, John McDonald came to the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio to talk about his then just published memoir from the University of Arkansas Press. He spent most of our conversation talking about others he admired and loved, and part of our conversation was about another Arkansas track legend, Olympic gold medalist Mike Connolly.
Well, it just felt like it was the man above him must be taking care of him because, you know, Mike Connolly and the man I was showing you, Frank Murphy, Mike Connolly, great, I mean, they were great athletes, but they were even better people. And when young guys started coming in for recruiting visits, man, I didn't have enough scholarships to give out. You know, they all wanted to come because, man, I heard about O'Shaughnessy, I heard about Mike Connolly, and they are really nice guys, and they were.
And Connolly seems to be a kindred spirit with you because there's the one meet that you talk about where he's already doing the long jump, he's already doing the triple jump, he's already in a couple of runs, and he tells you he's going to anchor another relay.
Yeah.
He wants more points, and you say, hold on.
I said to him, Mike, you know, I don't want to kill the goose that laid the golden egg. I said, enough is enough, you're not going to run it. And he said, no, we might need the points, you know, at the end there, we might need the points. And I said, well, if we do, we do, but I said, you're not going to get hurt doing it, you know. And as it turned out, we won it anyways. But he was the only guy that used to come into my office. I always studied the meet beforehand, mm-hmm. and I really knew what the other teams had pretty good. And he came into the first championship that we won, he said, how many points have you down? I said, 90. 90. And he said, I got 92. And I said, we're over the events and they were amazingly close. Mm. And he was a jumper now.
Right.
My gosh, some jumpers never even know that there's distance runners. Where he had figured out how good our distance runners were and every event down. And he came up to 1600 relay, the last event. And he said, we'll get 8 points. We'll get second there. We cannot win. I said, oh, I said, no, we're not going to run it. If we're not good enough, we don't have... And he said, oh, I'll anchor it.
You mentioned that as a runner, you learned from your mistakes. You learned to hold back. You also write that you learned as a coach. You were a coach for a long time, and sometimes you learn from the athletes, just like they always learn from you.
Oh, absolutely. Well, my saying was, you can learn more from listening than talking. And let the athlete... Let him have his day, you know. And I used to always sit down and ask him what those young guys, what were your goals and where do you want to go? And, of course, sometimes their goals are humongous, you know, and they want it now, not 2 years later. And then after I knew what they wanted, I'd say, hey, well, you and I are on the same page, but we might try and tweak a few things, you know. I said, you had a great high school coach. Never knock the high school coach. That's not a good thing to do because the kid that comes in that believes in his high school coach, you better not go and say, well, hey, you're at Arkansas now and you're in college and that was high school. We're changing the whole thing. Don't ever do that. I never did that because you pull the rug out from under him, you know, a security blanket.
One thing I took from this book is that one thing you don't like is complacency.
Yes.
Fair?
That's fair.
One of the athletes says, you know, this is after you've won a good number of national championships. One of your athletes said, Coach, you're never going to be happy. And he said, yeah, I'm happy.
Yeah. I remember that happened not just for one, but I remember one in particular, and he was really happy that he made the final at the conference meet. He was a 1,500-meter kid, and he improved from high school. And he was going around giving high fives to everybody. And I said, what are you so happy about? He said, well, I had a personal best by 3 seconds in the metric mile. And I said, I said, are you in the final? And he said, well, no, but I'm just a freshman. I said, no, I don't care if you're a freshman. It doesn't matter who gets the points. We never look at them for the freshmen or seniors, you know. So, boy, he said, well, you're never happy. Walked off, but then later I gave a pat in the back and I said, hey, you had a great race and better to come, but don't ever settle for second best.
When you're a coach of a team, you're like a CEO. And so you have to manage. You have to know who to stroke, who to encourage. How did you learn that?
Well, I'll tell you what. I learned that from my college coach. He was a terrific motivator. Absolutely. He was on his own. Back then, most colleges didn't have assistants. If they had, it was a grad assistant. But he would get the guys so fired up for the conference meet. And he spoke to them and talked to them individually. You know, mm-hmm. He did it to me too. And walking out on air, you know, out of his room, his office, because I felt, dang, that guy really thinks I'm great. You know,
were you ever too hard on yourself?
I'll tell you the one thing I did that is. Coaching is a tough career, and to do it right, it takes 100%. John Wooden said 97% is as much as he ever got out of anybody. But I think 100% of your time, and I neglected going back home to Ireland. After I came to Arkansas, I didn't go home for 15 years. And when I went back after those 15 years, that's when I realized, heck, I'm an old guy. Because I met some of my schoolmates, and my brother introduced me and said, you know him. I said, I think I know the face. And then when he told me who he was, I said, wow. I said, do I look that old? You know? He said, yep.
Yeah, that's the realization, not... Because you see yourself in the mirror every day, but when you see your contemporaries. Yeah.
And some of them were, you know, younger than I they looked pretty good, but there was a few of them that said, oh, my gosh. And that, I came back, and my wife was over there, and the kids were with us, but I said, I'm going to spend a little bit more time with my family because this time is just slipping away.
You have all those rings, all those championships, all those conference championships, national championships. But you can go around Northwest Arkansas and see some of the athletes who ran for you having very successful lives. You drive around, There's David Swain with a company. Yeah. Seneca Lasser and all the coaches that are around. Yes. That's got to make you feel very good.
It does, because there for years, none of my athletes went into coaching at all. And I always told them, you're better off not. You know, it's not for a family. It's tough on a family to be a coach because you got to put so many hours, many things can happen. Kid get into trouble or something like that. They call the coach, and whether it's 5 o'clock in the evening or 5 o'clock in the morning, you got to go and check it out. But I was very fortunate that I'm not bragging about it, but a very little problems that because we had strict rules about alcohol and all that type of stuff. And drugs, I had I had a rule where one time if you get involved with the drugs, you're gone.
Zero.
Yeah. No second chance at all. And alcohol, we always said, you know, if you get intoxicated and it comes to my desk, there'll be consequences. And then the second time, I call your parents. Yeah. So we didn't have much problem. Now, I'm not saying the guys didn't have a few beers and all that.
But, yeah, and the ones who are coaches and then the ones who have the businesses or have made a great success and stayed here, Ruben Reyna, you see, and O'Mara down in Little Rock.
Yeah.
There's a great legacy there.
Oh, yeah, there is. And you know, there's a lot of them are doctors and all that. I think 17 of them was went on to be doctors, and it's nice to get the most gratifying thing is I've had letters when I retired from kids that were on the team that never scored a point, you know, in a conference meeting, but thanking me for what I did for them as a person, straighten them out and get them on the team and all that type of stuff. So it was that's gratifying. You never think about that. You do somebody a favor, but in their eyes, it was great to be just a part of it.
Finally, very few of us when we're young know where we're going to go. But you're a teenager in Ireland, and then you look back and see who you're standing next to in some of these pictures. There's Roger Bannister handing you an award. There's the future president of the United States when Governor Bill Clinton handing you an award for the first national championship. The Prime Minister of Ireland. I mean, it's been a wild, fun ride, hasn't it?
It has. I'll tell you, it has been an unbelievable trip when I look back on it. Because just a poor farm boy from Ireland, and one of eight kids in tough times, just right after I was born in, right in the middle of World War II, you know, so 1938. So there were tough times. I can remember in 1944, I think it was, when there were still planes flying around, and we used to, when the planes, the Ireland was not involved, even though it got bombed a couple of times, Dublin did. But, you know, those planes scared the heck out of you because everybody thought they were fighter planes, you know.
Sure. Congratulations on the book, and thanks so much for your time.
Thanks, Charlie.
The late John McDonald talking with us in March 2013 about his memoir, published by the University of Arkansas Press. John McDonald died Monday night at the age of 82. This is Ozarks at Large.